Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
Looking for car shows? Then look no further than flacarshows.com. On your computer or on your mobile device, flacarshows.com is a comprehensive list of automotive events, plus videos and news articles. Whether you're looking for car shows, cruise-ins, meetups, automotive festivals, cars and coffees, or anything else relating to an internal combustion engine, then this is a site for you. Check it out online or on your phone at flacarshows.com.
And when we are 5 miles ahead of the rest.
What is this, Marty? Some kind of a race?
1,500 miles on the most diabolical of roads.
The Monte.
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 Hit one of their chaps, huh?
On the contrary, he hit us.
Oh, yes.
I could just huddle here,
no,
like,
yes.
Until I just warm up a bit. How's that? Is that all right? I'm
yes,
not crowding you, am I?
You are.
Got enough room?
Yeah, yes, terrific.
Move to the back of the car.
What is it? It's a skier.
A dirty rotten sheet.
Land there.
The jalopy and polished to be. She's gotta be the smartest of the automobile. Polish the paintwork and clean off the rust. They won't see our chassis but dust. And when we arrive miles ahead of the rest, everyone will know that our jalopy is best. They'll have to admit she's a car you can trust. So much fun to Carlo, bust my suspension.
Set the Wayback Machine.
Yes, sir, Mr. Peabody.
Hey, this is Tammy Edelbrock, and you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Okay, listeners, welcome. You're tuned in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and I'm your show host, Robert. Run your computers and Google Tan Talk 1340.com, and you can see me live here in the studios in downtown Clearwater. Matt, right? Matthew.
Yeah. How you doing, Robert?
Pretty good. And don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com, where you can find out all about us.
You see, he was in such a rush to get here tonight to do the show, he almost completely forgot who I am.
Really, you know, that's amazing that can actually happen sometime. You know, but, you know how they say you have a brain fart?
Yeah.
That's like a people fart.
Exactly. It's the same difference.
Kind of, yeah, yeah.
It's the same difference in my book.
I almost said Alan or whoever. I don't know what was on my mind, but anyway, yeah, I still have my bronchitis or whatever this thing is that I got.
Okay, so while he's clearing that out, let's get this settled down. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. All right. That's why I left my water bottle in the truck. But anyway, yeah, and if you want to find out about all our 700 and some odd shows, don't forget to check out nostalgicratingcars.com. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sports fans, car guys.
And children of all ages.
And children of all ages, yeah. So, you know, we could, well, yeah, I mean, there's nobody here, otherwise I'd be shaking hands, kissing babies. You know, but I'm not a politician. I'm just a car guy.
Exactly. But isn't that all the same thing, though?
I guess if you're kind of, you know, I mean, if you're a celebrity, but I'm not.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. You are kind of a celebrity around here.
Oh, God, this cough. Anyway, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure what this is, but it's a cough. Anyway, a friend of mine I saw at the car show, he goes, Robert, you've had that cough for a while? I said, yeah. He says, do me a favor. He says, what? Breathe in. So I did. I went... And then I started coughing. He goes, oh, you got bronchitis. You need to go get some amoxicillin or something. Anyway, so I haven't had anything. Yeah, I'm one of those dumb guys that's old school that just kind of, you know, I deal with it. But I'm probably going to have to do that because I got to get my eyeballs fixed and I got to get my ears cleaned and just a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, my ticker probably, you know, needs to be checked out. And I need a service maintenance thingy. Kind of, you know, like you do a car, you know? But anyway, all right, so I just want to let you know that we got a couple things going on this weekend. If you want to find out where all the stuff is, as far as car shows, check out flacarshows.com. They'll tell you everything. Now, this weekend in Sebring is HSR, Historic Sports Car Racing. The St. Pete Grand Prix is coming up in a couple weeks. The Gator Nationals are this week. Normally, they're the same week as the 12-hour Sebring. And that's coming up this month. So this is a busy car month. So you got HSR, St. Pete Grand Prix, Gator Nationals, and 12-hour Sebring. That's four races, big-time races this month. And we're only in, what's today, March 5th? The 3rd? No. It's the 3rd month.
No, it's the 5th. It is March 5th. Yeah, you were right.
Something like that. Anyway, well, as you all know, this show's not scripted. Duh. Anyway, and that makes it kind of interesting. It's radio, and we're spontaneous. Yes, we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, car fans. Anyway, where am I going with this? You're probably going to wondering what I did this weekend. Well, this weekend, I mean, this first weekend of March, historically, is always Amelia Island. Okay, so, but there was another major event taking place in South Florida, and it was called Moda Miami. So I was with my good friends at Fast Lane Travel. If you want to take a European driving tour, definitely check out fastlanetravel.com, and we'll stick you in a Porsche, and we'll stick it on the Autobahn after we show you the factory and the museum, and we'll turn you loose so you can drive 150-plus miles an hour. Now, the Autobahn back in the old days, when I was a kid living in Europe, you could go from Salzburg to Munich and all out. But there's so much construction going on nowadays, and all these little itty-bitty little villages nearby that they've got, they actually have in certain areas, if you get within a certain proximity of a city, they actually have speed limits. Very, very bad thing, speed limits. Although I do like what they did in Florida now. That means if you're a pokey guy and you're in the left lane on a highway, you can get arrested for obstruction of right-of-way. So unless you're passing or speeding, you don't need to be in the left lane. Now, that's the way it is in Europe. In Europe, if you're in the left lane, and you're flying, and somebody comes up behind you, like somebody like me in a Porsche, and I'm going 250, and you're running, or 300 kilometers, let's take it to the next level, 300 kilometers, and you're doing 250, that's not fast enough for me, because my turbo Porsche runs 300 clickers. So I'll flash my lights. It's what they call a Lichthupe. In Dutch, a light horn, you know, like it's like a horn.
Which is a nice way of saying, get the hell out of my way.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, and then you move over. And then when I pass you, you can move back if you want to. But if you're smart, you just stay in the middle lane. There's three lanes usually in Germany on the Autobahn. And there is on the Autostrada, and there is in Austria. Now, Austria does have a limit. Didn't used to when I was there as a kid, but now it's like 80 miles an hour. I think it's faster. You go 130 kilometers. So if you guys want to calculate that, I think it's 0.6, whatever, something like that. Anyway, so we can, like I said, Fastlane Travel puts you in a Porsche. Well, if you want to rent a McLaren, a Mercedes, or a Ferrari, something like that, you're free to rent whatever you want. And you stick with a group. We go to these fine hotels, and we go to these fine restaurants, and we see these amazing places in Switzerland and Austria and Germany and Italy and, you know, places like that. Even France. Yeah, we go to France. And so a lot of cool stuff, but definitely check out fastlanetravel.com. If you want to do one of those gigs. But anyway, so every in California, in Monterey, which is coming up in August, okay, and then in Florida when during the Amelia Island Concourse week, okay, they have the Works Reunion, which is an all Porsche event. All Porsche, you know, that little German car, little fast, very fast little German car. And they didn't used to be fast. They were kind of cool, but they got faster and fastest. And now they're, like, really fast, like 2.3 seconds, 0 to 60 fast. You know, I had to laugh because Musk is supposedly coming out with this little spider thing, this little convertible thing that he's got, little roadster thing, and it's supposed to be 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds. Now, you think about that. Matt, you know what I need you to do? Google, when your eye blinks, what speed is that? I'm just curious. I don't know if that's a second or less than a second or faster than a second or slower than a second or whatever. But now you think about that. Less than 2 seconds, 0 to 60. Now, the Gator Nationals this weekend.
100 to 150 milliseconds. That's how fast an eye blink is.
That's how fast an eye blink is?
Yep. The duration of an eye blink is an average of 100 to 150 milliseconds, according to researchers.
Okay, so that's a thousandth of a second.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, so if you're running the quarter mile with 8, 9, 10,000 horsepower, like some of these top fuel drag cars, and you're running you're not even running the quarter mile anymore, you're running 1,000 feet. I think that's what it is, which is stupid. It's 1320 is what it used to be, but let's just say it's 1,000 feet. And you're running that in 3 seconds, I think that's what they're running now. That's pretty doggone quick. So, I mean, the G-forces alone are enough to kind of knock the crap out of you. Pretty soon they'll be going faster, and then you'll have to wear a spacesuit, or whatever they call those gravity suit, or those, you know, those little things that the space dudes wear. Anyway, so where was I going with this? Okay, so I worked at Works Reunion, and we had a rainy weekend. My wife says, well, you know, there's a 55% chance of rain. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, Matt, but if you say a 55% chance of rain, that's 50-50, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit below 50-50, but yeah.
Okay. So, but if it's raining, don't you call that 100%?
Yeah.
Okay. Precipitation, if you will, rain, wet, whatever, you know, little drops, little water things coming out of the cloud. So, it rained. And then it stopped. And then it rained. And then it drizzled. Then it rained. And it was almost a mud hole, but it wasn't that bad. And in spite of all that, this is how car guys are. The car community is really cool because the car guys, the real car guys, don't care. There was guys there that had $250,000, $300,000 Porsche Speedsters. Yeah, they had the windows down. Well, Speedster didn't have windows anyway. It has curtain windows. But Porsches. And there was other Porsches. There was millions and millions, millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of Porsches. Who was it said that? Carl Sagan. Billions and billions and billions. Well, yeah, it sounds better. But billions and millions and millions. Hey, it's my radio show. I can be a goof if I want to, right?
Or trying to do an impression of Dr. Evil from Austin Powers.
Well, I don't remember that one. I don't remember his impersonation. But anyway, I thought I was doing Carl Sagan. But anyway, Alan will call me and correct me. Anyway,
Jim Ferry probably will.
Yep. So anyway, and these cars are all getting wet. People are sloshing around. You know, it's pretty cool. Our Führer, our CEO and founder, Peter Sontag, this is his 50th anniversary. So that's how long they've been doing this stuff to Europe. So he got up on stage, gave a little presentation, which was kind of cool. And I ended up trailering up his 356 Porsche, which we unloaded and had at our stand, which was kind of cool. It's kind of a condor yellow. It's not yellow. It's condor yellow. You know, it's kind of like the Shelby is not turquoise. It's Gulfstream Aqua, as in Gulfstream Motorsports. Or it's Royal Maroon. It's not burgundy. It's Royal Maroon. Okay, I want you guys to get that straight. Or it's not white. It's Wimbledon White. Wimbledon. Chevrolet actually has one called Summit White. Okay. Anyway, so I was up there for that. Then we left after the show, and then I had to take the Porsche back to the little town of Clearwater. And then I had to make my way to Miami. So I had to go down 75. And that is 5 hours. 5 hours, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, I got to Miami. And the event is in Coral Gables at the Biltmore. And it's called Moda Miami. And it was put on by RM. And I got to tell you, the caliber of the cars, well, the first thing I saw when I walked in, which was made me happy on the show field, was a whole bunch of Shelbys and Cobras. I mean, real live AC Cobras, 289, 427 cars, street cars, SC cars, a real 66 Hertz car, a real R model Shelby, a real red with gold stripe, another Shelby, and a Trans Am car that belongs to our friends up there at Three Dog Garage or whatever it's called up in New England. And then there was the seven or eight cars from the last 7 or 8 years, the show winners at Pebble Beach. Hey, you know what? I think you're going to queue up a song because I see that the clock is ticking away here, and I missed my cue by 2 minutes. So we're going to play a little. What do we got? Joe South?
We do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we got Joe South lined up.
Games People Play. This was a top song back in 68 or 9 or 70, somewhere around there. Anyway, you're tuning into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't touch that dial. I will. Me, myself, and I, all three of us, will be back in just a second right after this song. So don't touch that dial.
Ein Knüller in England. Seine neue LP heißt Introspect, der Mann Joe South und das Lied Games People Play. Fantastisch!
Meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da 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 da. Talking about you and me and the games people play now. Whoa, we make one another cry. Break a heart and we say goodbye. Cross our hearts and we hope to die. That the other was to blame. Whoa, but neither one will ever give in. So we gaze at an 8x10, thinking about the things that might have been. And it's a dirty, rotten shame. Whoa, la da 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 da.
Hey, are we back? And this is Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and I'm your show host, Robert. Is that it? Is that the deal?
we're back. And we were talking about this while the song was playing. I haven't heard this song in forever.
I know.
I didn't even know it was a 60s song.
Yeah, it is.
1969.
69, that's what I said. 69, yep. 68, 9, or 7. I couldn't remember exactly which one it was.
1969, that came out.
So, by the way, it's Women History Month. So, on Nostalgic Radio and Cars, we are going to invite ladies that are involved either in the car business or the Musik business. Musik, that's Deutsch für Musik. Music. And so we have a lady coming on the show here in a few minutes. And there is, well, not just yet, but there will be a theme and a clue as to what the show will be about here in a little bit. Anyway, so Moda Miami, I mean, I will have to give Rob Myers, and he was on our show a couple about a month ago, and he did for the first time out of the gate. This was pretty much a first class event. The selection of cars was pretty amazing. All super. Now there wasn't a ton of cars. There was probably maybe less than 200 cars on the show field, average. Okay, but there was some really neat cars and very neat groupings. There was a number of Lamborghinis there, Muras, Diablos, and of course a 65 GT350 or 350 GT, which if you ever look at my business card and our logo, it happens to be a 65 Lamborghini 350 GT because that's one of my favorite cars. And So, in fact, I met this gentleman that owned the car up in Audrain when I was up there in Newport, Rhode Island, last fall, I think, is when they had their concourse up there. Pretty cool event. I'm going to probably attend it again this year. It was a lot of fun. And then there was, a fair amount of Porsches, Ferraris, of course. And then a lot of the classics, Jags. What's interesting? I didn't see a Healey there. There might have been one, but I don't remember seeing it. But what was interesting is then he had a couple Formula One cars, a lot of Mercedes 300 SLs, Rolls Royces, Bentleys. And then there was a selection of kind of like celebrity-owned cars. So there was a Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud convertible, Mulliner convertible. That car was once owned by Richard Donner, the movie producer, Lethal Weapon, Superman. Then there was the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car, the original one. The James Bond car from Thunderball. That's why I played James Bond, I think, earlier. Did we play that? No, yeah, it's coming. And then there was Bill Gates' 959, the one that got tied up in customs for 13 years. That was there. The Hooligan Ford truck was there. And then there was a Mercedes 600. And I'm not sure who owned that at one time. Might have been John Lennon, I'm not sure. Because he had a white 600. And then there was my friend Craig Brody had his right-hand drive, very rare Aston Martin, kind of a modified car, really cool piece with some very interesting history, modified Aston Martin Vantage convertible. There was BMW CSL there, really cool stuff. There was, and for Alan, there was two Countaches side by side. One was an early Periscope car, and one was a 5000. And there was a Ferrari on an engine stand. You could have bought that. There was some F1 cars there. There was the Benetton car was there. Some really, really cool stuff. And then on Sunday, it was kind of like Supercar Sunday type thing. And they had 100 supercars, McLarens, Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Bugattis, Veyrons, a couple of those there. SLR, Mercedes-Benzes, a lot of these gullwing things. And then they did the introduction of the new McLaren Solus, or something like that. Some really strange-looking quasi-street race car thing. But it was a pretty amazing event. My hat's off to them. The Saturday night party or Friday night Saturday night party was pretty amazing, or gala, if you will. And light show, food was good, ambiance was good. They even had a little mermaid show thing there in the pool there at the Bellevue Biltmore. But definitely check out Moto Miami next year. It was a super event, and I will be posting some stuff on our Facebook page. Meanwhile, on that note, I think Matt is going to cue up the record player.
We got another good one, and you kind of referenced it earlier, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Mr. Thunderball here himself, Mr. Tom Jones. So you're tuning into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't touch that dial. We got a great interview for you coming up.
Here we go.
We'll be right back.
This is Caractacus Potts, inventor extraordinaire. Caractacus had a dream. He believed man could fly. At first, it was hard getting his dream off the ground. But Caractacus had faith. and a beautiful sweetheart. Two charming kids. And an adventurous grandfather.
Hold out, starboard out, push with a capital P-O-S-H, push.
Then Caractacus invented a fantastic magical car. It floats, it flies, and it carries adventure wherever it goes. It took them to castles and palaces and to far-off lands known only in lullabies.
And watch your boat from harsh by mountain sail far away from lullaby bay.
I want it.
It also took them into the clutches of the nasty Baron Bombburst, who ruled over the evil kingdom of Vulgaria, where children were imprisoned and happiness was a crime. And the only thing that could save them was laughter and music.
Sweet, sweet, a bomb to blow on at last has been found.
Never before has there been such a gallery of marvelous characters. Dick Van Dyke as Caractacus Potts. Sally Ann Howes as Truly Scrumptious. Lionel Jeffries as Grandpa Potts. Gert Frobe as the nasty Baron Bombburst. Anna Quayle. James Robertson Justice. Benny Hill. Robert Helpman. And Heather Ripley and Adrian Hall as the children.
Hey! Go
Daft!
And one, two,
three, four.
Never before has there ever been such a magical musical entertainment as Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Hi Chitty, no Chitty, anywhere we go, I'm friend with Frank. Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney, and you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Okay, we're back, coming to you live from Schloss Neuschwanstein in Deutschland, which is where part of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was filmed. Anyway, I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening the lady that is that kind of introduced me to this particular vehicle because it was on display at Moda Miami this past weekend. And she is the manager of the Stahls, which actually has German kind of name to it, Stahls Automobile Museum in Detroit. I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening Terry Copens. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about yourself?
So, tell us a little bit about Stahls. Well, actually, give us your little background on cars, because you're kind of a car gal. So you have an interesting story. We talked a bit about that, about your 1965 Dodge, I think it was, or Plymouth.
Dodge Coronet, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Dodge Coronet 440, yeah.
That was your first car?
Coronet, yeah. Yes, it was. Born and raised in, you know, near Detroit. Family worked, my father worked for Chrysler for 32 years, retired from there, and my brother, sister, aunt, many family members all worked for Chrysler, so I've always been a fan of Chrysler, and I was given a 1965 Dodge Coronet 440 from my father's cousin, who was no longer driving and had no need for the car, so I was the lucky recipient.
So how was that car equipped? I mean, was it a slant six automatic car, or three speed on the three and a knee, or was it what was it?
It had a 318.
Okay.
And it went on forever. It went on for many, many miles. That car, you couldn't kill it if you tried.
Well, now wait a minute. Now, if it was a 65, would that have been push button transmission?
No, but it's funny you say that because the temperature control, where it had the heat and the cool and the off, was a push button, so everyone assumed it was the push button trans, but it was not.
Uh-huh. So it had a column shift, then, I presume. Okay. All right. So then what'd you subsequently, after you had that car for a number of years, then what was your next vehicle?
I didn't think you'd make me bring that up.
Oh, well, if it's a Pinto, we're fine. We're fine with that because we like Pintos here.
No. It was an old Delta 88.
Oh, a Delta 88. Yeah. That's a big car.
So I went from a very cool car to a grandma car right away. So not by my choice so much, though. But
okay. All right. So before you were a manager of Stahl's Automobile Museum, did you have another background in the car industry?
Well, I worked as a mechanical engineer for 20 years doing automotive conveyor systems.
Really?
So I was around that quite a bit. Yes, I did. Worked in plants, Mountain Road Engine Plant here in Detroit. I also got very lucky to take a big jump over to the Corvette plant, and I got to walk around and do some field checking down there when we were doing some conveyor systems there. So it was quite the difference going from one of those plants to the other.
Well, now, wait a minute. So you're talking you went down to Bowling Green and worked down there? Really? Interesting.
I did field checking down there, so we just have to basically go down there and check out the conveyor systems that were down there, do some measurements, and then come back and do the work for it.
Okay, so were you like, so before you went down to the Corvette thing, so basically you started working at General Motors then, doing conveyors?
No, I was just working for another company that did the conveyor systems for all these different, we did Chrysler, we did Ford, we did GM, we did all different types.
Well, tell us about
that. Whoever needed us, we did that.
Tell us about the conveyor system. How does that work? Let's assume I know nothing, and you're here to tell me how the conveyor system works. So basically, is it for the actual cars that go down the assembly line, or is it for components that go down? Okay.
Everything. It was whatever was needed. We did, the company I worked for did full plant layout. So it was whatever was needed, if it was a new section to be changed, or if it was an entire plant that needed to be changed or redone, we did the conveyance system to get the whatever, if it was the full body or the full car, to go through the system, the plant, that's what we worked on. It was whatever was needed.
So now, did you work on, let's say, like a phase, attachments, or what was your kind of like your job description, if you will?
I did more detail work, so I wasn't doing the planning layout. I was there to, again, get measurements and see if we could put turns in where they needed to be, if we had the space. A lot of it was just, you know, revamping the systems that they had.
Okay. So how often are those systems updated and upgraded or changed? And what are the reasons they do it? Is it has to do with efficiency? Does it have to do with components wearing out? Is it to expedite the process? How does it, what all is involved there?
Basically, yes to all of them.
Yes to all of them.
It was, again, as needed. It was, again, for us, it was more the full plant change out or updating certain sections for a new machine that might be being brought on or a new station that they needed to add. So we may have to revamp and added a section so that they could keep the flow going as much as possible, and usually try to do the work during the 2-week shutdowns, and just we had to have everything ready for that time.
Interesting. Now, is this how does that work? Does it, because like I know in the European cars, you know, the manufacturer, they actually shut down usually like around August or something like that, end of July, August, for retooling or service maintenance and whatnot. So do the American automobile manufacturers do that, or is it an ongoing thing and it's just like in between shifts, or how does that work?
No, I believe they still do. I've been out of the business for quite a while now, but I believe they do still do that. At the time when I was doing it, yes, they did have usually their 2-week shutdown in the summer.
Okay, interesting. So how'd you get into that? I mean, where'd you go to school at?
Well, I went into the service and got out earlier than I expected and needed to find some work. And I have a brother-in-law that was doing this same work, and he invited me to join his team. And I started going to community college, basically, is all I did, as I went and took some courses there. And I was taught more as a working, you know, in person at the company I was working on. So I was I learned more on the job than I did going to school. So.
Okay. No, hey, there's a lot to be said for that because, you know, a lot of times these manufacturers and facilities, they want, I'd rather take you the way you are, train you so that you know our system, because very often, exactly. You know, when you come out of school, you're kind of brainwashed a little bit or you're kind of set in your ways.
Yeah.
But well, that's interesting. So that was just kind of a fluke thing. So you did that. And then how long have you been with Stahl Automotive, the Automobile Museum?
Almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years and just over 9 years.
How did that come to be for you?
That I got extremely lucky. I was actually looking to move out of Michigan and go visit my daughter and stay with her in Nashville and look for some work done in Nashville. And I asked a friend who worked for a job placement company and asked her, I just need to fatten up my bank account a little bit so I can feel comfortable going down there and look for work. And I said, can you find me some temp work? And she found me a job working at Stahl's. It was not the museum. It was the main company, but I was helping with some of the documentation and everything for the vehicles. And after working my 3 months, I was offered a position to stay on. And I'm so happy that I chose to take that.
Well, yeah, me too, because now I get to talk to you. And otherwise, I probably never would have had an opportunity to sit in my fantasy car when I was a kid, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So, anyway, all right.
We'll hear that for many.
Yeah. So tell us, and again, thank you very much. I truly appreciated that. I posted it on our social media. But anyway, so tell us about some of the other cars and how big a facility is it? What part of Detroit or Michigan is the Stahl Automobile Museum?
We're located in Chesterfield, Michigan, which is located north of Detroit and south of Port Huron. So we're on the east side of Michigan. And it's been around since, the museum itself has been around since around 2005. And we've been in the facility that we're in now since 2011. And that one is about, I think it's about 38,000 square feet, and we've packed in just about 100 cars. And we also have some wonderful automated musical instruments that just enhance the experience when visitors come in, and they get to, you get to tingle all the senses. You're in the sights and the sounds. You get, most of our cars are not roped off, so you can actually get up close. We have what we call drool rags, and we put them over those microfiber towels that we put over the doors of the cars, so you can actually put your hands on those to be able to look into the cars and lean in and see, because sometimes the beauty is on the inside as well. So,
fascinating. So who was the gentleman that was with you there? He was like one of the mechanics, I guess. What was his name?
Yeah, not Sebastian. He is the mechanic.
The mechanic.
Yes, that is Seamus Natt.
Seamus,
and he is an incredible, incredible young man who is so incredibly talented. And his passion for the cars, especially the teens and, the older cars, his knowledge and passion for them is just incredible. And it's just unbeatable. I would not trade Seamus for anything. He is... just can fix anything just about, and he's just wonderful.
Well, him and I had an interesting conversation, and he was telling me about his 1914, I believe, Model T. It's kind of like the last of the brass era cars, and he's totally fascinated, and like you said, passionate about brass era cars. And he's 25 years old, so he's an example of these younger kids that somehow magically gravitate to these older cars. And, it's like myself too. I've been around muscle cars and 60s, 70s, sports cars and stuff like that forever. So when I see these early era cars, brass era cars, post-war cars, or pre-war cars, there's what I truly appreciate about them is they're all mechanical, and it's you can see it and you can understand it. Unfortunately, today, the cars are all full of electronics and all this other whiz-bang stuff. I have no idea. I can't see it, can't fix it, don't even know what to do with it, other than you plug something in and something tells you. But interesting. So highlight some, besides the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car, highlight some of the other cars that are on display there. And let me ask you this, too. When you walk into the museum, is there a theme? Does the museum convey a theme? Like an era?
If you think of your imagination.
My imagination?
Willy Wonka.
Okay. Willy Wonka.
It's pure imagination. Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine that when you walk in. It is basically heaven on earth for any car person because we don't stick to an era. We have a... Just, we've got something for everybody. We've got cars from the late 1800s to the mid 60s, and they're just there's something for everyone there to enjoy. And again, if you are a muscle car guy, we have a few of those, but you may not know what you really like until you come there. And again, we try to put the cars in somewhat of a chronological order so that you can actually walk through time and you can see the progression of the body styles, the headlights, everything that's changing on the cars and as it goes on through time. So you're walking through history as you come in, and you're also joined by a nice soundtrack with our Wurlitzer Theater organ that we have playing as well, and our other large dance hall organs that we have in the museum going on. So again, and we have neon signs all over. We do a special night called Night at the Museum, where we shut off our overhead lights and you stroll by neons. So you can see the neons as they're meant to be at night. And that's a very popular event that we do.
How often is that? Is that like a monthly thing?
Right now we do it once a month through October through March, because in the summer we start doing our cruise nights and we do outside cruise nights at night.
Oh, interesting.
But our cars that we have, I mean, as you said, with getting the young people involved, one big car that we really point out, we get a lot of school groups that come in. We don't charge school groups to come in, and we let them come in a day. We're not open to the public so that they have free reign of the museum, and we can give them, a nice tour and let them really take a look at things and not feel like they're getting in the way of anyone else. But we have a 1905 Columbia Electric, and it's a beautiful, beautiful example. And it's got the interior has not been restored. It's just beautiful. But most kids and a lot of adults don't realize that there were electric cars back then, not anything new. And we can point that out on a lot of things as we take them through this and show them, headlights that turn with the steering wheel and push button start. These things aren't new on cars. So, but we've got other movie cars as well. We have the Great Race cars from the movie The Great Race with Peter Falk and Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis and Natalie Wood. We have both of the cars from that movie. We have the Winton Flyer that was from the Reavers with Steve McQueen. We have a 1948 Tucker. We've got number 1015 of the Tuckers. We have a Chrysler Turbine car. It's the only one in private hands right now that is running. We have, we've got, I'm just trying to think of all of the cars we have. We've got some beautiful Cord Duesenbergs. We've got a Duesenberg Model J that's absolutely gorgeous.
These cars, do they belong to a museum, the museum? Are they on loan? Do you rotate these cars? How does it work at your facility?
We do rotate the vehicles.
Okay.
We have about just over 230 cars in the collection. And we rotate them. Like I said, we keep about 100 on the floor, but we don't necessarily do a regular, a display and say this is going to be here for 6 months and then we change it. We'll just, if a car is going to go to a show, we may pull that car out. So then while that's getting ready for the show, we'll bring another one in. We just kind of update it as we feel like we'd like. We have the cars like the Tucker, the Turbine, the Great Race cars. When Chitty gets back, those kind of cars usually will stay on display for, at all times. for the most part, but we'll rotate some of the other ones out.
Do you reciprocate?
We actually have
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. You actually have what?
We have another really cool one. Is our 1919 Pierce Arrow that belonged to Fatty Arbuckle.
Oh, really?
It was built for Fatty Arbuckle. It's one of Harley Earl's earliest designs, and it's just a massive, massive, beautiful car.
Interesting. Interesting. Wait a minute. Let me guess. Is that car purple?
It is.
With big white tires?
That's the one.
Oh, wow. I saw that car here in Lakeland. A gentleman had it on display. I don't know who owns the car now, but it was down here at one point in time. In fact,
we own it now.
You own it now. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember the guy that had the car. We were talking a little bit, and he says, you know, Robert, the most expensive thing on this car is those tires. I had to get Corky to make me a special set of tires, and he charged me $25,000 for 5 rubber tire, gum wall tire. You know? And I said, holy moly, 20, and Jesus. But anyway, and that's a massive car.
It's a
beautiful
car. It's one of the largest ones we have.
So do you reciprocate with other museums? So let's just say, for example, the Gilmore Museums over there, where? That's Kalamazoo, right?
That's on the other side of the state, yes.
Okay.
And we have sent cars over there, yeah.
So you do that. So let's say the Audrain, which is up in Newport, or maybe a museum down in Nashville, because Corky has cars. Do these cars kind of like rotate, you reciprocate between museums?
Yes. As a matter of fact, right now we have 3 on display at the Savoy Museum in Georgia.
Okay.
And once those come back, we're going to send them another one to display as well. We belong to a group called NAM, which is the National Association of Automotive Museums, and it's just a great networking group. As a matter of fact, we have our conference, our annual conference, down at Savoy this next week. In fact, we'll be down there. It'll be museums from across the country, and we're all in it for the same reason. You don't have a museum to make money. They don't make money. They are here to preserve history and to share and to just keep the stories alive, and that's the whole point of all this, is to keep these stories going.
So let me ask you this. Do you have motorcycles as well?
We have 2, and they're more of a personal thing for the owner, but we don't really focus a lot on motorcycles, but we do have, we've got a Zundapp, and we've got I believe it's a BMW.
Oh, 2 German motorcycles. It's tuned up in a BMW. Okay, good. Well, yes. Stahl, I'm assuming he's probably of German descent, because Stahl is German for steel.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yes, it's a very common German thing.
Yes. Okay. So let me ask you this. So, like, in museums, because you said they're not really profitable. Obviously, they're 501(c)s, like you said. And
correct.
So, outside of people walking in and out of there and paying maybe a small fee to get in and out of there, do you get national or corporate sponsorship?
We don't. A lot of it right now, the most times with museums is events. They're events. We don't charge people to come in.
Okay.
We're open limited hours, but when they come in, we don't charge. We do ask for a donation at the door. We don't tell them how little or how much, because we don't want to prevent people who can't pay for a family of 5 to come in, you know, and see this. And but, you know, we do ask for that. But we do we host events there. So somebody can host more. We do more corporate. So if they want to have a corporate luncheon, they can come there, or a corporate dinner event. They can come and rent out the museum and have dinner there, and we'll play music, and, you know, we'll have a nice, wonderful backdrop for them. It's a nice setting.
Okay. How often do you participate in events? Let's say like Moto Miami, or maybe Amelia, or maybe Pebble, or the Detroit Concourse. How often do you get involved in those?
Well, we happened to win Best in Show last year at the Detroit Concourse.
Oh, really?
That was a nice experience, yeah.
With which vehicle? Which car?
We had, I believe it was our 1938 Delahaye.
Oh, a Delahaye. Okay.
A beautiful car. Yeah. Yeah. But we've attended Pebble every year so far since 2015, I believe it was. 2015 or 16, we've been to Pebble every year, so... We do go to events like that. We've gone to Audrain And we've gone to Amelia, you know, we have gone to the Detroit Concours. We try to push a little bit more doing local events, mm-hmm. because we are promoting people to come to the collection as well.
How far are you from Detroit?
We're probably about a 40-minute drive.
40-minute drive. Okay. How about the M1 Concourse? Have you ever had any vehicles over there on display when they do that event?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those people are incredible over there. They're a great group to work with. We've worked with them. They've assisted us. Like when we've had events, they've got a few large events that they do during Woodward Dream Cruise, and they will. You know, we do two fundraisers out of the year for other charities. We host them with. One is our Autos for Autism event, and one is our Veterans Day event. And both those days, all the money we take in goes to these specific charities for those. And M1 has always been so wonderful in donating tickets to their events or just being a part of it to help us raise more money for the charity.
Okay. Do you have a favorite? We have a few about 30 seconds left here. So basically, do you have a favorite that's in the museum?
My favorites go in categories, but out of my overall favorite would probably have to be our 31 cord, L29. It was a recreation of the lost cord. It was a cord that was built specifically back in 1931, but it disappeared, and it's never been found. And this recreation is just incredible. It's got a crystal decanter set bar in the door because it was during Prohibition. It's got a cigar humidor on the other door. It's just a beautiful car. I always tease Mr. Tall and tell him that that's going to be my retirement package right there. So
interesting. Well, Terry, we're just about up against the clock. So if people want to find out more about the Stahl Automobile Museum, how do they go about doing it?
They can just go to our website, stahlsauto.com, and that's STAHLS. AUTO.com. We've got our event tab on there to let them know about all of our upcoming events for Autos for Autism and everything else that we do. With Wayne Carini has always been a wonderful guest of ours at that for that event. And we have some other special guests that we can't announce just yet, but we will be. They can find all of our contact information there and give us a call, send us an email, and
wow, sounds great. Hey, real quick, we got a second left. How about, do you do anything with the Eyes on Design event? I think that's what, May, Father's Day, or June, or when is that?
Father's Day, yes. Yep, we're always involved in that event as well. That's another wonderful event for a wonderful charity, and it's a great group in a beautiful setting at the Ford home in Grosse Pointe. And it's just, again, it's a wonderful group to be a part of.
Super. Well, Terry, I want to thank you very much for hanging out with us here at Nostalgic Radio and Cars. It was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you again for letting me sit in. Chitty, chitty, bang, bang. And I look forward to visiting you up there in Michigan sometime.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I want to thank my special guest, Terry Copens, from Stahl Automobile Museum in Detroit. Or just north of Detroit. So, hey, all you guys, get up there, drive your cars. We got a whole bunch of stuff. We got races, HSR, Safety Grand Prix, Gator Nationals, 12-hour Sebring. I don't know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be at something. Anyway, meantime, you guys, get out there, drive your cars. Tell your friends every Tuesday between 7 and 8 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network for the most legendary and fascinating names in motorsports. This month is Women's History Month, so we have some lovely ladies coming on. In the meantime, stay safe, drive carefully, and love your family. The other side.